This is a Mexican crossing lines. Welcome to A Mexican Crossing Lines with Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. We are broadcasting on Shoutcast on the radio. You can find us on 88.1 FM, but you can also go online at kpppfm.com and listen live. And today's show is really serious. It's a very serious problem that we have in the state of North Dakota. Duke, you and I talked about it all the way home.
Oh, definitely.
We were talking about the burden of what has happened in North Dakota with the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe.
Definitely. And we went down for the weekend to be there on the ground. And, you know, we'd seen all the reports last Thursday with the militarized law enforcement. And we went down to see firsthand, to talk to people, to get the voices on the ground and to spread the truth rather than the hype that a local and commercial media stations and mainstream media is spreading.
And we're going to be bringing you all of those interviews throughout the next probably week or two.
Yep.
We got lots of material. But today we're going to be talking about what the consequences, what the burden, what the legacy of what Morton County, the state of North Dakota, and the state leadership and the people of North Dakota have done to Standing Rock. We all bear this burden of what is happening to Standing Rock. Nobody gets to opt out. You can't just, well, you're not paying attention to it and it doesn't matter to you for that reason. Nope, it's not like that. We will all bear that burden, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the future, the legacy of what we do today or what we don't do is going to be affecting the future generations. That's why people are saying, listen, there is too much at stake at this election. Even though you may feel apathetic, more so than in any other election you have ever voted in, you cannot fail to vote because the stakes are so high.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to end up with one of these two candidates for the next 4 years, or possibly even longer. You don't know. This could be a disastrous move for our country if we don't make sure to exercise our powers. I believe right now we are at a critical turning point in the state of North Dakota, in this country.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when it comes to dealing with discrimination, with racism, with the way that we have the genocide we've committed against Native American people.
Mm-hmm.
We have not reckoned with these things. We have not asked for forgiveness. We have not made reparations. We have not tried to make amends because we have not wanted to own what we have done to Native Americans. And now that desire to run from the history of the genocide of what we've done to Native Americans, where we haven't taught it in the schools, where we haven't told each other the truth about how that genocide never stopped, how it continued. When we whitewashed the history of Native Americans being removed from their ancestral lands, when we shroud in secrecy the agreements, the treaties that we have broken, which is basically all of the treaties mm-hmm. that have ever been signed with Indigenous people have been broken repeatedly, and how we have failed in our duty to the Native Americans who gave you and gave all of us every right we have. If it wasn't for the indigenous land that we basically stole from them mm-hmm. at gunpoint, and the fact that Native American people entered into this treaty agreement where they gave up their power to us in exchange for us caring for them. They gave us certain powers in these treaties. Remember that, folks. The Native people, the indigenous people, gave America its powers. Mm-hmm. It gave America its land. It gave America its resources. It set the tone for what Americans can and cannot do. And whatever is not explicitly stated in that contract, in that treaty, if it doesn't explicitly say you have a right to do something, you don't have that right to mm-hmm. do that. If it doesn't explicitly say, we, the nation of whatever nation it is that signed a treaty with the United States, give this land and these things to the United States, they haven't been ceded. They haven't been given. Just like the land where Dapple is now putting its pipe in yeah. the ground. That is treaty land from 1851 that belongs, and there's no dispute mm-hmm. who the original owners of this land is.
Yeah.
Unless you believe yourself to be an indigenous person, the original inhabitants and owners of this land are the Native American people, the mm-hmm. indigenous people of yep. this land. So there's no question whose original land this was. But the belief by most Americans, or the understanding of what that treaty confers upon America, is very shrouded in secrecy. The fact that we don't understand these things isn't just our lack of interest in all things indigenous because you aren't one. It isn't just that you think that all of the Native Americans are dead or that the only place you can see them is at a casino. No, it goes far beyond that kind of ignorance. It is a willful type of ignorance that chooses to, that agrees to, whether tacitly or openly, to ignore, and even more so, to erase, to whitewash, mm-hmm. to completely change, to frame in a completely different way so as to sell your own narrative.
Yep.
That's the truth of what we've done to indigenous people, to black people, to Asian people, to anyone who isn't part of the mainstream, supremacist, white, cisgendered, heteronormative group mm-hmm. in power. That's what we've done to all of those folks throughout history.
Yeah.
It's what we've always done. So now, as they say, the chickens are coming to roost.
Oh, yeah.
We are seeing the full circle effect of so much corruption, so much hatred, so many lies, such a hierarchy of violence perpetrated for generation after generation, for hundreds of years after hundreds of years. The lawlessness of the colonizers, the rape culture that has evolved out of white toxic male masculinity and the violence that goes along with that. Never would you ever have thunk that you would have a candidate for president that said, grab him by the mm-hmm, P word.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
But everything is folding in on itself now.
And people really need to realize that we've been ignoring history and the facts. The data and the information on what treaties are, people haven't been educated on that because we haven't educated anyone about our conquest of this country mm-hmm. and our decimation of the indigenous people's populations down to 120,000 people at the early turn of the century from millions, and that these treaties are binding. They're the highest law of the land. And indigenous people are asserting their treaty rights. Mm-hmm. And it's really making white people angry because we're uneducated. And we, like you said, we disregard the truth. And right now, people are asserting their actual rights under the law, and they're being maced in the face for it.
Mm-hmm. And white people are asserting what they believe their rights to be under their white supremacist institutions. And they believe what their right is. Here it is, folks. Here's what white people think they have a right to. This is part of their rights that they're afraid to lose, okay? When they worry about the racial war that they think is just around the corner, this is what they're worried about. They're worried they're going to lose their right to kill us. They're worried that they're not going to be able to execute a person of color or call a cop and have him do it for you at a whim without repercussion if the demographics of this country change, if the power structure of this country changes. Because the white man believes that our people, indigenous people, people that have been oppressed, murdered, brutally treated, raped, robbed, exploited at every turn, humiliated, mocked, oppressed in every way imaginable, kept ignorant, poor, struggling. If we really analyzed everything that's been done to Native American people, we would have to consider what the consequences would be if someone did that to you, not just for a little while, if they did it to your entire family, if they kidnapped your brothers and sisters and send them away to boarding schools where they were raped by teachers and buried in a garden in the back of the school. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are all things we've done to indigenous people, and worse and more. They came with their dogs. They took the children, the babies, the infants off of the teat of their mothers, and they dashed their heads against the rocks. There's evidence clearly corroborated by the friars, the missionaries, the men of God that came here with the conquerors to murder my people, to kill my people, to kill us with their God, their Christianity. These things happened, folks. We've done all of this before and so much more. And so we don't want to look at that history in America. White people don't want to look at that history in America because it reminds them not of their crimes, because they'll tell you, every white person will tell you, I didn't own any slaves. I didn't kill any Indians. I wasn't in the cavalry. Yeah, but your ancestors were. Mm-hmm. And you still benefit from the decisions that your ancestors made to murder those people, take their land, rape their women, and prop themselves up on the backs of and exploit the indigenous people whom they conquered. And you don't want to talk about that, because when you hear that, you feel the guilt and the pain pulling at you as you look at your conditions in life. And maybe you don't think that you've been real privileged because you don't have a house like Kelsey Warren. You don't have a yacht and $1 million. You don't have Trump's billions. You don't have star power or celebrity. In fact, you live in pretty modest means. But you know what? Your families were not decimated in the way that indigenous people's families were decimated. Their earth, their wealth earnings, and their overall improvement in terms of economics, in terms of upward mobility, have almost been at a standstill since the moment white man set foot on mm-hmm. this continent. So we have to reckon with all of this. We have to reckon with what we've done. At some point, America has, I believe, Duke, mm-hmm. if we do not face this now, we are going to commit an atrocity of massive proportions, the sort which the next generation, the next 3 or 4 generations of your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren are going to try to live down.
Yeah.
There have been people, as one of the my recent interviewees, Tyler Warren, told me about, whose parents, whose family members were in the cavalry, were involved in massacres of indigenous people. And they went through the arduous process many, many generations down the line to change their name so as never to be associated with that murdering, genocidal mm-hmm. man. Because that's how deeply it goes, folks. We don't want to clean up this mess because it hurts too much. But look at what completely blinding ourselves is doing. We're about to do it again.
Exactly.
We are doing it again. So we need to clean this wound. We need to deal with this. I don't know how you feel about this, but I would definitely love to know.
That's right. You know, you should really chime in. You should really comment. You should get a hold of us and give us your perspective. And, you know, you can do it many ways. One way is to give us a call on our message line. It's 701-566-0917. Call. It's a recorded message. Tell us who you are, where you live. Tell us what you think. You can also tweet us at @media_PPP. You can email Cindy at kpppfm.com or me, Duke, at kpppfm.com. You can find out what's happening on Facebook at 88.1 Fargo-Moorhead, the People's Press Project, and Mexi-Can.
Yes. And I will just share with you that it's very important that we talk about what is happening in the state of North Dakota before we relive these tragedies. We've given you updates almost every single day here on KPPPLP about what is happening at Standing Rock. This is probably the most important news, especially Indigenous news, that has happened in the last 100 years.
That's right. And there's not being covered. It's being covered at the camp. It's being covered by people on independent media and social media. But our local media in Fargo-Moorhead, you're not hearing anything. You're hearing a narrative that's full of lies, full of misinformation. And it's our duty as independent media to get the truth out there. So we're going to bring you testimonies. We're going to bring you firsthand perspectives. No hearsay. No person sitting back and deciding that all these things are happening. We're telling you the truth. We're going to bring it to you all week and perhaps all of next week.
Yeah. And, you know, what was laid bare by that media blackout that you're describing in Standing Rock is that the news media that is there is all independent media, non-commercial media, you know, bloggers and community journalists, people that are doing updates because, you know, as Aisha said, when we interviewed him, mm-hmm. we're the media.
Yeah.
We're the media.
Yep.
And a lot of people have been saying that we're the media because the media wouldn't come. The media wouldn't tell us we can do this. This is the cornerstone of everything I believe. That's why I started this radio station. That's why we started the People's Press Project, because we believe that we have a right to create our own media and have it shared without barriers. I believe that the fact that all of these major news networks, ABC, CBS, NBC finally broke that silence, NBC with
70 some words on their newscast, yes.
Yeah, but they did a newscast. They finally came and covered the story, and it wasn't horrible. It wasn't great, but it wasn't horrible. Mm-hmm. CNN, on the other hand, terrible. We're going to talk about all of the perpetrators of the wrong, but you know, basically they're the mainstream. They are the corporate, the big corporate media outlets who haven't been ignoring this pointedly. And now that the situation has risen to a burning, out of control wildfire, now other media is starting to show up. And what do when they get there while the Indigenous people are down? They kick them.
Yeah.
That's what they did. They showed up to kick people, to put stories that basically villainize what the, or minimize what is happening at Standing Rock, as if that were possible. I mean, they literally brought tanks.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't think the reality, people have not seen the reality. In North Dakota, we have a police state. They have roadblocks that are illegal. You pull up. You might just be driving to go visit grandma. You're going to be stopped. They're going to scan your face with facial recognition software. They're going to scan your license plate. They're going to use a device to suck information off your phone. And then you're going to drive on. If you're media and you're involved in anything trying to cover this, the police are going to pull you out first. They're going to arrest you first. This is a police state. They're abridging everybody's rights. And the media doesn't want to go there because they're going to get arrested because they've been arresting media. This is a police state in North Dakota. And any media that doesn't cover that and that doesn't actually show what's going on is doing a disservice of what's really happening here.
But they're also showing us something, because it's not just in North Dakota. We have a police state everywhere. Black people have been telling us, Black Lives Matter has been telling us There is a police state. They randomly pick us off the street. They violate our constitutional and human rights. They put us in cruel and inhumane situations. We are being tortured. We are being killed. We are being lynched. We are being extrajudicially murdered on the daily. Stop. Look at your broken justice system. Do something about this. This is unjust. This is inhumane. They went to the United Nations. And what did we do? We sent MRAPs. We sent riot gear. We sent stun devices and grenades and that's what we did.
And live ammunition and guns and bullets.
And people from the media were also targeted, shot at. People were barely talking about that. People mm-hmm. barely noticed it, like it was a blip on the radar. No, after the big protest, I believe it was in Ferguson, where journalists were being shot at, mm-hmm. and we saw that the police did not respect the fact that journalists were present. In subsequent coverage of marches and riots that have happened for the past 2 years all over this country, what you saw was either aerial footage and you had two people just commenting mm-hmm. from a remote location watching yeah. the video footage, or you had a very far away shot from behind the police lines or, you know, a strategic location. You didn't have these reporters down in the streets. And if you did, they were all like Unicorn Riot, mm-hmm. independent journalists. So something has changed, folks. Pay attention to what's changing. Everyone is being exposed for exactly who they are. The things, the blinders are falling away from your eyes and you can see now who's who. Who's part of the police state? Who's part of the propaganda machine of the government and the police state? And who are the people giving you real information? You need to pay attention to this mm-hmm. because it's going to be real easy to see it right now. Before, it was a little confusing because we would see there would be riots and people would be lighting gas stations on fire and people would be throwing gas canisters and that white supremacist, that anti-blackness that's inside of us was pulling at us going, yeah, but maybe it was necessary for them to blow them away with these giant militarized responses. So, you know, we never got to answer that question. We never answered that question. We haven't answered that question. But here we see it laid bare. Mm-hmm. There is absolutely no reason for this type of militarized response. And yet here it is.
Yep. And here it continues.
It continues. And we've done nothing about it. So we need to do something about it now. Let me give you some other facts you may not know. If you haven't heard the other shows where we've talked about all of the things that have been happening, please go and find us. You can check out 88.1 Fargo-Moorhead on Facebook and see some of the clips of videos, the Facebook update mm-hmm. that I did. Mm-hmm. So here is what some of the new information is that we know. The horses that we mentioned, there's still three horses. There's three horses that were missing. The police did not take the horses. They took and arrested the riders, but not the horses. They don't have a horse jail for them. I believe two of those horses are still missing, and they don't know if they'll be able to find them or mm-hmm. get them back. One of them found his way back, so it was kind of cool. Two of them are, I believe, still missing. You can go to Greg Cloud's Facebook page and see if that update, if you want to find out more about the description of the horses or if you want to know more about what happened to them. I also learned that a 17-year-old pregnant girl was among the people arrested and beaten, as was a 78-year-old elderly woman.
Yeah.
This police state and the way in which it's treating the people there knows no boundaries. They don't mm-hmm. care. We did see the UN representatives come to the Ochotisakoan camp.
Yep. Yesterday when we were there. Arrived. They arrived yesterday.
Mm-hmm. And Amnesty International is on the ground too.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going
to say? Oh, I was just going to say we put their picture on Facebook and they are there and that is national media attention. And it's not being reported by mainstream news again. But I feel a lot of comfort in a sense that people are actually taking this seriously, that can do something, and are coming to assist in Standing Rock.
Yeah, so there was a delegation of about four or five of these people. I think three of them were UN people, and I believe the rest of them were either security or assistants or, I'm not sure. They did say that they had had one UN person at the camp prior to the arrival of these other two new emissaries, but they were, I overheard them saying that they were, I asked them for an interview, by the way, and they said they were busy collecting evidence, and so they weren't able to give me an interview at that moment. Mm-hmm. But I never did get that interview. They were busy the entire time. They were walking around the camp. They were talking to a lot of people. They were looking at things. They were examining evidence. So lots of stuff has happened. This is a medic report I want you to hear about how they didn't just go after small media, independent media. And the fact that you don't see the big media there is because they know. In order to stay on the in crowd with the cops, with the politicians, with the powers that be, they can't cover anything that will make those people angry. So in effect, Morton County Sheriff's Department runs our media.
Yeah.
He's the one, Dapple runs your media. Mm-hmm. The corporations and the police department and Jack Dalrymple get to tell you what you get to hear and what you get to see about Standing Rock. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you don't get to know.
That's right. And they hold their press conferences at the police department. And Morton
with
County.
Two people in the journal, from the journalists, yeah, they got like two people in there.
And the people are speaking are the cops and the company people. And that's the news. They aren't covering the press conferences happening at the camps. There's press every day. The media is not there to take that press, nor are those people invited to participate in the press conference. And this is where the media feed comes from. It's fed directly from the police department, from the Morton County Sheriff's Department.
And they get to determine who is media that can come to the conferences. And
they only let certain people in. So they are blacking out the media and they are...
And you can tell by this, what this is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You can tell by who is in those press conferences at Morton County Sheriff's Department who the sellout propaganda machines, spin machines are.
Mm-hmm.
KFYR is one of them because they're in there all the time.
Exactly.
And it's hilarious when they do a wide shot of who is in these press conferences because, you know, the Morton County Sheriff's press conferences are always shown like the seriousness that is in this room with a podium and a screen in the background or something.
You know, and they should go right downstairs and or right outside to the garage where they have dog cages that they put together that they've been housing people that have been arrested. They're being put in cages on cement floors en masse.
And Morton County Sheriff's Department said he would agree to show those cages to the public, to the press, I'm sorry, during his press conference. And I have not seen a single picture of that. So
there isn't.
No, because no media has been allowed to go and film this. Here's what we know. Here's what the medics told us about how police are attacking the medics, folks. Listen to this.
What happened with the medics? You were in the car.
The medics who were driving our medic car, after we were struck and knocked off the back of the medic car, police advanced and without even letting our medic driving, put her vehicle in park, pulled her out and arrested her. One of our other medics was nearly struck by that vehicle. Oh, while it was still moving, because they pulled her out without letting her stop the vehicle. And he was arrested. Both of those medics were arrested.
Were they clearly marked medic?
Both of them were clearly marked, and the vehicle that we were in had red crosses on it, and they knew they had red crosses. They had seen us treating people all morning already. They knew
we
were medics.
They had already identified us as medics and even intentionally taken one of the tools, a squirt bottle of spray that I was
going to
treat people.
They
took it away from you?
He snatched it through the line. They sprayed me with my hands up in my back to him with all my medic markings clearly showing me. They sprayed me head to toe. We saw that the shooter at the top of the MRAP had a silencer on his assault rifle. Oh, if they're here for peace, if they're not here for trickery, why do they have silencers on their weapons? We saw them shoot numerous beanbag rounds out of shotguns. They pointed shotguns at me. They pointed shotguns at my back while I was treating patients.
People were repeatedly calling for folks to take their finger off the trigger because they were standing in line with their fingers on their trigger.
Okay, now there's another one. Some of this is a little bit more some of the same information, but I think it's really important for you to hear all the detail of how they're holding their fingers on the trigger, how they got silencers on, mm-hmm. how they were pointing their guns at the medics,
yep.
how they were taking the medicine that the medics were. It's very intentional what they're trying to do. Here there's medics trying to treat these people from being from their being maced and having flashbang grenades mm-hmm. They're very dangerous, the shrapnel of which can cut people and disfigure them, and all sorts of different weapons that they were using, microwave mm-hmm. blasts that made people's basically cook their
yep,
bodies.
Cook their bodies, yeah. And the sound cannons that
sound
deafen
cannons.
You and interrupt your internal organs.
Yeah.
This is for people that were standing
They're not
and praying.
Supposed to be used at close range. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Because if you use those weapons incorrectly, you could kill someone. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter that you're shooting beanbag rounds. If you shoot it directly in someone's face,
yep.
you could blind them. You could mm-hmm. kill someone. If you shoot a flashbang grenade directly into someone's face, you can kill them. If you shoot a sound cannon at close range, you can kill people and cause permanent damage. And Morton County Sheriff's Department did not give a rat's butt. They were like, hey, it's just a bunch of Indians. Just do whatever you want.
That's
Throw
right.
them in cages afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's going on, folks. And so I really want you to hear the detail. Go ahead and play the second one so that folks can hear the description of what they did to the medics.
My name's Noah Morris. I was frontline medic yesterday on the raid on the easement. Of the injuries we saw yesterday, we saw more than 50 people who we had to treat collectively for pepper spray. We saw a number of people who had blunt force trauma injuries because of beanbag rounds, concussion grenades, use of nightsticks, and other kinetic weapons. We saw at least one individual who had been hit with a taser and had a taser barb impaled on his cheek. We saw a number of folks who had joint injuries from rough handling by law enforcement. And so, also a number of folks who just received injuries in their attempts to flee. They arrested two of our medics. They forcibly removed myself and my partner by hitting us from the back of our medic vehicle. And the driver was pulled out while the car was still in drive and was arrested. So any reports of restraint on behalf of law enforcement from a medic's perspective are completely false. And those folks came as instigators, and those folks are the problem. They caused the problem. They use are what's known as sting balls, which are most commonly used in prison uprisings. And they're approximately shaped like a tennis ball, and they're packed with hard rubber pellets and CS powder, or a chemical agent, and so that when they detonate, they both release a loud bang, and they send these hardened pellets in 360 degree directions that will bounce. So they'll sting and hurt people and hit them in their legs and bounce off and ricochet back on them, especially in prisons. Out here, they didn't have quite that multiplier effect, but they were using their whole arsenal of quote-unquote less than lethal weapons.
And they let... They let these things happen. The Morton County Sheriff's Department is doing these things, and our government is allowing them, and so are you.
That's right.
So are we, if we do not demand immediate accountability of everyone. If you, right now, if you are a person that is not standing with Standing Rock, if you stand with DAPL, if you stand with this corrupt company, this corrupt government, or this corrupt police state that is attacking these prayerful, peaceful individuals, I seriously do not want to know you.
Yeah.
I do not want to know you. I do not want to talk to you. You are like, to me, you're like Trump. To me, you're like a Klan member. You're someone with no soul, no brain, no spine. I prefer humans to jellyfish. So
That's right.
That's where I draw the line.
And you ignoring this is affecting everybody. This is our law enforcement. This is our media. These are things that are supposed to serve the community, and they're not. And they're not going to stop where they are now. This is going to escalate to all of the communities. So you ignoring it, you're ignoring everything that's going to affect you.
Mm-hmm. And think about what they've done so far. Here, this is how far they're going. They're taking medicines from the medics. They're endangering the lives of the medics. They're arresting the medics. They're arresting legal observers. They're targeting journalists for arrest. They're arresting anyone with a live feed, especially with a lot of followers. Mm-hmm. They're arresting attorneys. They're threatening attorneys.
Yeah.
I mean, how far is this going to go?
They're arresting city council people that have been sent there by their cities to support people in Standing Rock, and they're being thrown in jail.
Experts that report on military and police have said that Morton County is out of control, that Ladd Erickson is unfit to lead, to serve, that Governor Dalrymple is corrupt, that our Congress members are paid off, bought out, toothless, gutless, and they're not standing up for what is right. We cannot let human atrocities and injustice to continue simply because all of our leadership is corrupt and all of the people that lead us. We can be our own leaders. We don't have to stand for this. And I want you to hear from the young people what they've done, what they have been traumatized with. I want you to play the testimony of Tito Ibarra so you can hear what he had to say. This is the testimony of Tito Ibarra from October 27. This is the last post that he made before being taken to jail. I'm not a military or a veteran. I stood on the hill on 1806 highway side of the fence facing police in riot gear. People were attempting to break through to the officers' hearts and minds with words. I tried, but my words were out of emotion and anger. I wasn't doing a good job, and a young man came and stood by me and reminded me not to be mean and angry and stay in prayer and peace, and that the police weren't the enemy. I followed the young man's instructions and closed my mouth. I am not a military man or a veteran. I turned toward the road and seen that we were spread out and were weak in the road. They were advancing on 1806. I changed my position and put myself in the road in front of the vehicle. I knew my angry words were of no use, so I sang the only prayer song I'd been given from my singing teacher, Johnny Smith. People came with smudge, and someone handed me some burning sage. I remember starting to cry a little and feeling tired, tired of the ugliness. I took my goggles and face covering off and laid it on the ground. To show them there's no need to hide, because we're all the same. My bro had stood by me at some point and helped sing. I remember hugging this brother earlier, not like we were happy to see each other, but like we were saying goodbye. Then another gentleman came and caught the song, and then the women, then more people. All of a sudden, there was a bunch of us singing. I felt it, but I didn't look. And a lot of people were there singing a song that they just learned. The truck and officers stopped for what seemed like a very long time. I remember thinking all we had to do was keep singing. We can hold them here forever if we keep singing. And I was preparing myself mentally to do that if that's what it took, even though it wasn't realistic. At one moment, we stopped singing. It seemed just long enough for them to remember their training and what they were there for. They tried to grab my bro, but he got away, and some ladies took his spot, and we kept singing. And then the police began inching forward again. My stomach was in a little pain and my knee was aching. When we couldn't back up anymore, a cop reached forward and pushed me in the shoulder chest area. The woman next to me yelled at him to stop, and I looked at them and said, "It's okay." He did it again and again, and then we just couldn't back up anymore. A girl next to me was crying very hard. I put my arm around her and kept singing. A scuffle broke out to my left, and then they busted out the mace. I knew it was coming, so I turned my back and moved away enough so that they couldn't grab me and I could put on my goggles and face mask again. Then I tried to go back in and stop things from flying around through the air and hitting anyone if I could. Then I was grabbed and arrested. When I got to the transport van, I was in zip tie riot cuffs and giving them my basic information. Then, all of a sudden, I heard the flashbang grenades going off, and I looked and heard the shooting. I heard they were going to use less than lethal beanbag rounds, but I honestly thought this was it, and they were killing everybody. I didn't think it was real. I thought it was a reenactment, but they were killing the people again. I got mad that I was safe and not with the people anymore. As soon as we got to the dog kennels and I had the chance, I asked if anyone was killed and was told, "We haven't heard anything." Today, after I got out, I was in the casino and there was a lot of people in there. I started to feel scared and I didn't want to pick up my head because it made me more scared. The scene of the shooting and flashbangs going off kept playing in my head. And also, I had a dream of it. I almost started crying a few times. I told my bro how I was feeling and he simply said, "You've been traumatized." My chest started getting tight and I had to get outside. I don't understand how I could be traumatized when I haven't experienced even half of what the people experienced that day and the days prior. I am sharing this because I'm asking for prayers for those who've experienced worse and are going to be affected forever by this. All for oil and money. I couldn't hurt a peaceful, praying, unarmed person for $1 million. I couldn't make them feel pain for a job, let alone use supporting my family as an excuse to justify it. I just felt a little bit today. Please, my people, get help for the pain and for these scars. Not just the protectors, but also the officers. That was very powerful.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, this is why I'm mad, okay? This is why I'm mad, too. Mm-hmm. I'm angry that not only do we have this overblown response by the police, these horrible abuses, these horrible traumas, the attack on the journalists, the medics, the authorities by the Morton County Police Department with the assistance of these other authorities, mm-hmm. as well as from different states, as well as Border Patrol, apparently.
That's
now.
Right. And also the DAPL workers themselves are armed and they're in there policing. They're arresting people. They're taking the law into their own hands and they're being condoned by law enforcement to be the enforcers of the law.
They're working together. I mean, the Young Turk said they're the Pinkertons.
Yep.
They're basically the Pinkertons. That's what they're doing. They're hired guns for companies. But that's how the police started anyhow.
That's true.
I mean, that's what we used the cavalry for, right?
That's
to clear out the Indians so we could take their land.
And once again, people need to understand the history of the police. Where did the police come from?
Mm-hmm.
It came from catching slaves, protecting companies, protecting property. The police have never been to protect and serve the community.
No.
That's a lie.
No.
And look at the way they're acting right now. They're doing the job that they've always been doing. It's just mm-hmm. totally visible right now. So you have to open your eyes, open your ears, and actually look and listen.
And here's a perfect example of this. I don't know how long we'll have to go through this, but I wanted to read this to you. It's by John Laurentiis, and it's called "The U.S. Media is as Guilty as Police at Standing Rock." Listen up, media, corporate media, sold-out media. This is for you. It says, "In all of my reporting on the deception of the U.S. media, I can honestly say I've never been more disgusted with them as I am today." Me too, John. Me too. Mm-hmm. If any of their journalists had an iota of integrity, they would resign this moment in protest, lest they become the wretched instruments with which the United States' brutality against our water protectors at Standing Rock is being concealed from the public. But not only have they remained complicit in this violence, KFYR, KVLY, mm-hmm. we're talking to you.
Exactly.
They've gone one step further, and they are now justifying it. On October 30th, after police shamelessly orchestrated a violent military assault on unarmed protesters over the weekend, CNN released this disgusting article. Not all Standing Rock Sioux are protesting the pipeline. AKA, we were able to find a few coconuts or sellouts to support the narrative that we want, right? A sellout, by the way, which gives them the excuse to be racist. But here's what John Laurentis goes on saying. Rather than inform the public about the ongoing military buildup against the thousands of unarmed water protectors who are against the pipeline, CNN chose to share with their readers an interview with one guy that doesn't, shows, you know, he is not standing with Standing Rock. He wants the pipeline. This is what you're all supposed to believe, that CNN thought that the public wouldn't be interested in an unprecedentedly massive demonstration against the desecration of sacred land by thousands of courageous people and over 100 indigenous nations. But suddenly, when militarized police violently dispersed them, they decided that, you know what the public really needed to hear from? They needed to be informed of this one guy named Robert and how he wasn't 100% stoked about the project. I guess the not all, quote unquote, is some kind of journalistic code for Robert?
Yeah.
I'm just going to state the obvious here. CNN didn't publish this article because it was newsworthy. They published it because most people only read the headlines of articles, and they know that. Statistically, this article was going to give the impression that Native people are kind of divided. Mm-hmm. Oh, so some people want it and some people don't. Isn't this the same stupid argument they used about the Standing Rock Sioux mascot?
Yeah, the mascot for UND. Yes, it's the same thing. People, they
would
find
people like it.
They would find people that said, "No, I support the logo. I think it's an honor."
Yeah.
And yet there was hundreds and thousands of other indigenous people saying, "No, this is disrespectful."
Right, but they want to ignore those people and still do what they want. So that's why they find someone. It's like those people that use the N-word, and then they go, "My black friend said I could use the N-word." Mm-hmm. No, you don't have any black friends. So let me just tell you. He goes on to say that this is the reason why these media sources are doing these counter narratives. They're trying to give an impression that, hey, you know, it's not cut and dry. It's not, you know, the emperor has no clothes. It's not clear. Here, let me throw some mud in the water so that it's kind of murky and you don't really know for sure what's going on. And, you know, the timing was not coincidental. He goes on to say, CNN has become just another public relations firm rationalizing the unilateral actions of a oppressive police state that's being peddled by Democrats and Republicans alike.
Mm-hmm.
You heard it here first.
Definitely.
And it's not just CNN. He did a search of the word Standing Rock on MSNBC's website, and the only stories that showed up are from September, is a short report on the temporary halt of the construction on September 10th, a six-minute segment on Amy Goodman's arrest, an 8-minute segment on Donald Trump's financial ties to the pipeline on the 26th, and a 6-minute interview with Mark Ruffalo on the 27th. Evidently, the most interesting thing about No Dapple is whether or not it has something to do with Donald Trump, followed by how many celebrities were involved. A search of ABC's news website yields absolutely nothing for the first 3 pages of results, and our lives are far too short to waste time talking about how Fox News has reported on the Dakota Access Pipeline. So if it's all the same to you, we're just going to skip that network altogether. And these networks should be ashamed of themselves. These networks and their parent companies that have ignored these issues in states across this country should be ashamed of themselves. These networks have devoted a pathetic amount of time to covering the courageous people at Standing Rock who are defending the water of everyone in each second of this has either been because of celebrity being covered that has forced their hands, or because they're reassuring the public that even if it's not pretty, it is normal and acceptable for militarized bullies to abuse the rights of indigenous people on behalf of, no, not justice or freedom or even security, but on behalf of energy corporations.
Mm-hmm.
This is what our media is trying to tell us. It's disgusting. And now because the spineless U.S. media lacks the courage to say it, I suppose that as an actual journalist, it has become my job and your job too, to say it for them. He says, here it goes. The water protectors are not rioters or hooligans or hippies. They are unarmed human beings who are courageously taking a stand against the construction of the Dakota Access Pipeline. This is not a dispute, and tensions are not escalating between protesters and police. Unarmed people are being ruthlessly assaulted by a police state that we fund with our tax dollars. These protesters are not trespassing. The pipeline is trespassing on Native American land, but the U.S. government only honors those treaties that are convenient for them to honor because they have more guns than anybody. Our police have become nothing more than ruthless, state-backed mercenaries who answer not to you or me, but to the abstract and immoral interests of corporations who don't give a damn about you. If you stand up to defend the environment or the rights of human beings, they will hurt you, lock you up, and let's be real, they will even kill you. If you need to and can get away with it, and the media's new job description is to make sure that no one knows, or at least no one cares about what's really happening at Standing Rock. But thanks to the brave reporters of CNN, we can all take some solace in the fact that at least Robert doesn't mind. Yeah. That was John Laurentiis. But let me take you back to why we were talking about all of this in the first place. Mm-hmm. I'm disgusted by the media as well. And I believe that the people, the indigenous people that have been kind enough to honor us with a interview have done so precisely because we've talked about how media treats people of color. Precisely mm-hmm. because we've talked to them about how the consolidation of media is unfair to people of color, exploits people of color. Those media outlets make their bread and butter off the backs of the exploitation of the stories of people of color, of the criminalization of people of color. Mm-hmm. They play that stuff on a loop, but then they want to distort our stories. They want to take our stories because they think they're the only ones that can tell our stories. Sorry,
yeah.
That isn't the case. And if you don't have a platform like KPPPLP in your community, if you don't have public access, if you don't have some independent journalists in your community, become one, train to be one, and you can even just use Facebook and social media to tell your stories. You are not constrained. Let's tell the story of Deborah, His Horse is Thunder, who posted a Facebook update about the arrest of her husband, Ronald, His Horse is Thunder, who was the former tribal chairman of Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. He was brought here all the way to Cass County, wow. by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Many people told me that the Cass County people were a lot nicer to them than the Morton County people. And I think that's probably easy to believe for a lot of
yeah, but how nice is a person that's incarcerating you and putting you in a cage?
Well, they weren't trying to humiliate them and dehumanize them the way Morton County was. That's the point, true. I think. Well,
that's a very good point.
So this is the post. Omba Washte, my relatives. Thank you all for your strong words of support, prayers, and offers to take care of our animals, to assist with our bond and other help these past few days. Your strong love for Ron and I bring tears to my eyes. I also apologize for causing you distress. It was not our intent to be arrested for trying to protect our relatives on the front line and standing in prayer as the Morton County Sheriff's Department chose to wreak havoc on the water protectors on Thursday. I can assure you that those who are reporting serious mistreatment by Morton County speak the truth. Floris White Bull's video posted on Facebook reports that we were held in dog kennels built in their parking garage, and this is true. We sat on a cold cement floor for over 8 hours with over 50 women in two kennels, with all of the others' clothing taken away, so no jackets, no sweaters, no shoes, no means of warmth. As for food, they didn't feed us until 11 p.m. Reports of being marked with numbers on our arms is also true. I cannot describe the men's conditions. There are tarps that kept the women enclosed. Ron and I were taken separately to Cass County Jail in the dead of night in Fargo, North Dakota, by bus, along with a number of other protectors. I will say that, with two exceptions, we were treated respectfully by Cass County officials. We were released on Saturday evening around 6:30 p.m. If we fit the definition of rioters by Morton County Sheriff's Department and North Dakota's governor, then they also need to surround the Christian churches on this Sunday morning and arrest all of those who sit in prayer. They need to tow the vehicles that sit on the streets near these churches and stop anyone from going near them or coming for their prayer sites. Take down their license plates numbers, photograph their occupants, and generally harass these people. This is how ridiculous and absurd this term, the rioting, is being used against the vast majority of us who were in prayer on Thursday. As a peaceful, law-abiding citizen who believes in law and order, this experience has been surreal, and it hasn't ended yet, as we must appear in court on December 5th. The level of transgression on our people is unbelievable. Left to rely on social media to get any truth out, as a mainstream media is more worried about the political games of Trump and Clinton, limits our ability to educate others and to get our voices heard. The Facebook world is watching, and we have many online supporters as a result. And while we deeply appreciate all of that, we need you here. This is a call to stand with us in prayer and not to be interpreted in any other way. We cannot allow the bullying and terrorist tactics of the DAPL, the Morton County Sheriffs, and the North Dakota Governor to continue hurting our relatives. As surreal as this experience has been these last few days, I will gladly do it again if it will protect our relatives. So that's Deb and Ron. His horse is Thunder, both of whom, the tribal chairman, former tribal chairman, excuse me, and his wife, both of whom were arrested on Thursday, October 27th. And I will leave you by giving some information. This is a little Keezy IMC. Remember the DJ who was arrested, aka Mike Marcus Freyho. Oh, yeah. He posted this, and I thought it was very uplifting. He said, "I heard the devil came to kill, steal, and destroy, but you can't kill our spirits. You can steal our earthbound belongings, but you can't steal our love. You can destroy the land and the water, but you can't destroy our life. For we come from the earth. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Breathe love, for it's love that we carry. We are the bundles. We are the loaded pipes. Our prayers are the smoke that rise to greet the Creator's nostrils, and ever so sweet scent of our sincere, blessed prayers. They can lock us up, but we're already free. Free from the sickness that nourishes their wicked. Passing through this earthbound journey is but a moment into the next life. Our life, we will be triumphant. Embrace each day, for yes, they are beautiful. White Wolf, find me. Aho." So, legal support for arrestees. If you want to find out how you can give a witness statement, or if you've been a victim of the Morton County Sheriff's Department and their allies, you can email them at standingrocklegalconnect@gmail.com. You can call them at 701-409-0550. You can also get a hold of the Red Owl Legal Collective at redowllegal@gmail.com. And that is all we have for you today. Thank you for listening to A Mexican Crossing Lines on KPPPLP 88.1 Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. Minnie Wichoni, Water is Life. We are glad to come.